Good evening. If you'll take your Bible and open to Mark chapter 10, in just a minute we'll take our study together from this great account of the gospel in the New Testament. We do have a number who are here tonight. We're grateful for your attendance. If you're visiting with us, we hope that you'll stick around for a few minutes after our worship tonight, that we might introduce ourselves to you and give you a personal invitation to come back and to be with us whenever you have the opportunity. There are a number of fruits that are discussed and listed throughout Scripture. For instance, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8, when John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness of Judea, he spoke about the fruits of repentance. He said, "Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance." When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9, he wrote to the church at Ephesus of the fruit of light. The ESV translates the passage, "But the fruit of light is found in all that is good and true and right." And then you have the fruit that's probably most well known from the New Testament in Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, after Paul has discussed in verses 19 to 21 the works of the devil, the works of the flesh that are manifest. And then he says, "But in contrast to that is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And so tonight I want to look at a different fruit of the New Testament, and it's found here in Mark chapter 10, verses 28 and following. Now, Jesus doesn't use the term fruit in this text. Mark doesn't use the term fruit in this text. Yet what we have here is the fruit, as we're going to call this study tonight, the fruit of forsaking. The fruit or the benefit, what is produced by being willing to give things up and to bid farewell to things that we might pursue after Jesus. So let's read the text together, Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 28. "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." So what we'll do tonight is explore this passage of Scripture and learn about the fruits of forsaking things to follow Jesus. But before we do that, a couple introductory things about Christianity in general. When you think about Christianity, about Christ and His teaching in the New Testament, it requires faith. No one can please God and have a relationship with God without faith in Jesus Christ, and without that faith being a continual committed obedience or continual faithfulness to Him. The Hebrews writer wrote about the requirement of faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so faith is required that we might have fellowship with God, that we might have a relationship with Him, that we might please Him. Jesus said something very similar in John chapter 8 and verse 24. He said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." And so the Bible requires, Christianity requires faith in Jesus, faith in God, faith in the fact that God is a rewarder of those who seek after Him diligently, who pursue after Him wholeheartedly. Now, biblical faith is two parts. It is trust conjoined with obedience. It is conviction in God conjoined with a life of obedience, a life that does what God requires, a life that follows and lives the principles and the commandments of Jesus Christ. And so biblical faith is trust and obedience, and it is a life of continual commitment and continual conviction and continually following and obeying Jesus and the God of heaven. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And so to be fit for the kingdom of God, to be fit for entering into that eternal abode with the Father in heaven, we have to put our hand to the plow and continue moving forward. Not looking back, but continually moving forward in our commitment and our following of Jesus Christ. It's like Jesus said to the church at Smyrna, Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And so Christianity requires our faith in Jesus, our faith in God, but it also requires a faithfulness, a continual conviction, and a continual commitment, continual obedience to Jesus. Faithfulness is, as Paul described in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, fighting the good fight of faith, finishing the course, and, well, I forgot what 2 Timothy 4, 7 says, but running the race, finishing the course, fighting the fight of faith. That was the Apostle Paul. He was demonstrating his faithfulness and his conviction and his continual obedience to Jesus Christ, and that's what Christianity requires. It requires our faith. A second thing that stands out about Christianity when you consider it is that Christianity is the way to fellowship with God. Apart from Christ and the gospel, we cannot have fellowship with God. The only way that we can have fellowship, communion, participation with the God of heaven is through His Son, Jesus Christ, through our faith in Him and our faithfulness to Him. And so when the apostles began preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were preaching the way of fellowship or communion with God. John said in 1 John 1 and verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." John said, we're declaring what we know about Jesus because we're interested in the fact that you can, through Him, have fellowship or communion with the God of heaven. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, talked about how reconciliation was made available through Christ and His church, through Christ and His body. In Ephesians 2 and verse 13, he said, But now in Christ Jesus, ye sometimes who were afar off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then he says in verse 16 that God made both, that is Jew and Gentile, one in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby. And so Christianity is about reconciliation with the God of heaven. It is about us coming to a place where we can have fellowship and communion, where our sins find atonement, and we are at one with God through Jesus Christ and His blood, through Christ and His church. And so Christianity is about faith and faithfulness. It is about having fellowship or communion with God. And one of the things then that is required when you consider Christianity, that we might remain faithful to Jesus, remain faithful to our Father, that we might have fellowship and communion with God, is this idea of forsaking. Jesus' call to faithfulness, His call that we would obey Him continually, requires a willingness and a readiness to forsake anything that would stand between us and faithfulness to Him. It requires a readiness and a willingness to forsake anything that would prevent or hamper our fellowship with God. And so in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus said to those who were listening to Him on that occasion, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." Jesus said, if you want to come after Me, it's going to require some sacrifice. It's going to require some forsaking, some giving up, and some leaving behind, and you might have to do that daily, that you might pursue after Me, that you might follow Me, that you might be faithful to Me and maintain your fellowship with God. So with those thoughts in mind, let's consider then what Jesus says in Mark 10, and let's look at the words that Mark records from the mouth of Jesus, what Jesus teaches us about forsaking for His sake, and what the fruits or the benefits are for giving things up for our Master in heaven, for Jesus Christ. Let's read again verses 28 and 29, and the first thing we'll talk about from this text is the forsaking. "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for My sake and the gospel's." So let's begin by looking at this idea of forsaking. What does it mean? What does it mean to forsake for Jesus Christ and the gospel? And so let's begin with a definition. Both Peter and Jesus use the same term. Both Peter and Jesus use the word left. Peter says to Jesus, "We have left all and have followed thee." And then Jesus says, and He begins to talk about people who had left houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands. What does the term left mean? It means something like to send away, to lay aside, to leave, to forsake. It's similar to another term that Jesus will use in Luke's account of the gospel in Luke 14, verse 33, where Jesus says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be My disciple." In that text, Jesus uses the word forsaketh, and it means to leave behind or to lay aside. That term is also used in Luke 9 and verse 61, where it is translated in the King James Version, "Go bid them farewell." And so when Peter says, "We have left," And when Jesus talks about those who had left, he's talking about people who had bid farewell to various things in life that they might pursue after or follow after Jesus, that they might be faithful to him and have fellowship with God. And so what is required then, if we're going to live a life that pleases our Father in heaven, a life that pursues after Jesus, is a readiness and a willingness to bid farewell to some things in life because they might stand in between us and faithfulness, because they might stand in between us and fellowship with God. And so we're going to have to be willing, as those who are followers of Christ, to give some things up, to forsake them, to bid them farewell, that Christ might be first and foremost in our life. Remember what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So that's what's required. This definition, to leave, to forsake, to bid farewell. Now notice in this text, Jesus gives a description of some things that we must be willing to forsake, things that we must be willing to leave behind that we might pursue after Him, that we might be faithful to Him and have fellowship with God. In verse 29, Jesus gives a list of 8 different things that we might have to bid farewell to maintain faithfulness and fellowship with God. He says, "There is no man that hath left house, brethren," those are brothers, "sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands." Now, as you're reading there in verse 29, Jesus uses the disjunctive "or" in between every single one of those things in that list. And Jesus does that as a figure of speech for emphasis, because Jesus is trying to draw our attention to every single one of those things individually, for us to consider our relationship with our house in comparison to our relationship with Christ, for us to consider our relationship with our brothers in comparison to our relationship with Christ, and through the whole list, to compare our relationship with our father to our relationship with Christ, or our mother with our relationship with Christ, or our wife, or our children, or our land to our relationship with Christ, knowing that we need to be ready and willing, if called to, if the opportunity arises where they're at odds with one another, that we would be willing to bid farewell to the things of this world that we might faithfully pursue after Jesus. And so Jesus uses that disjunctive "or" that he might particularize and emphasize each and every single one of these things in this list. For the sake of our discussion, though, we're going to join them into 2 different categories. Because in this description, Jesus is really saying there are 2 various categories in life where you must be willing to bid farewell to certain things that you might have fellowship with God and maintain your faithfulness in pursuing after Jesus. The first category that we must have a willingness to forsake and a readiness to leave behind is in the category of physical things. He begins the list and he ends the list with a word that fits into this category. He said first that a man must be willing to bid farewell to forsake his house. This would be his abode, his place of residence. Must be willing to bid that farewell. And then he ends the list with the term lands. This would be a piece of property. Often in the first century, this piece of property would have been used for farming or for the raising of livestock. Very likely, this piece of property, this land, would have been this individual's means of provision for himself or his provision for his family. And so Jesus said, it may be that you must be willing and ready to forsake some physical thing, to forsake your house, your place of residence, or your land for my sake and the Gospels, that you might be faithful to me, that you might have fellowship with God. It's very similar to what Jesus said in Luke 14, 33. "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." But then Jesus transitions from a physical category to a much more difficult category. He transitions from a physical category to a familial category. Jesus said, to follow me, you don't have to just be willing to forsake the physical things of the world. He says, sometimes to follow me, you have to be willing to bid farewell to and forsake and to leave behind things and people and individuals in your own family. Here are things that would mean so much more to us than the physical things of the world. And Jesus said, there may come a time when you have to make a decision between your family and Jesus Christ. We must be willing to leave behind sisters, brethren, fathers, mothers, wife, or children. Now notice within that familial category, there really are 2 divisions. There is the family into which we were born. There is mentioned there father, mother, brothers, and sisters. And so it may be that to have faithfulness to Jesus Christ and fellowship with God, we have to forsake the family into which we were born, the family that reared us, the family that raised us, the family that has provided for us for all of these years. Well, if they stand between us and faithfulness to Jesus Christ, if we're going to pursue after Him, we must be willing to bid them farewell, to say, I cannot go with you because I must follow after Jesus. But not only that, there's a second category. And it's listed here as wife or children. This is not the family into which you were born. This is the family that you have chosen for yourself. This is the family that you have with, if you are a husband, this is a family, this is the wife that you have decided to marry. These are the children that you have produced and brought into life. And it may be that if you're going to be faithful to Jesus Christ as a husband, that you might have to be willing to forsake your wife or your children. It's Luke 14:26. Jesus said, if any man come after me and hate not, and then he lists these various family categories that are listed here in Mark chapter 10. And he says, he adds to that category, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus requires the place of priority in our life. And he wants to be and has to be and must be first and foremost. And so there has to be a readiness and a willingness to leave behind not only the things in those physical categories, but also a readiness and a willingness to leave behind individuals in the familial category if they stand between us and faithfulness to Jesus Christ. There's a couple demonstrations of this in the book of Acts, particularly in relationship to physical things. You find at the end of Acts 2 and at the end of Acts 4, here were Christians who were willing to give up their earthly possessions for the sake of Christ and for the sake of their brothers and sisters in Christ. In Acts chapter 2, when 3,000 were obedient to the gospel on the day of Pentecost, they were all together and they had all things common. And those who possessed goods sold them that they might be able to give to their brothers and sisters in Christ who were in need. They were not so attached to the physical things of the world that they were not willing to give them up and to sacrifice them for the benefit of their brothers and sisters in Christ. The same thing is recorded in Acts chapter 4. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Those who were possessors of lands and houses sold them, and they brought the money and they laid it at the apostles' feet that distribution may be made to those who were in need. Here were individuals in the first century who were followers of Christ who were willing to make sacrifice of physical things of the world to sell their house or their land that they might benefit those who were Christ's disciples also. So in this text, here is Peter. And Peter says to Jesus, we have left all. We bid farewell to everything. When you think about the list of the disciples, those who became apostles of Jesus Christ, here were Peter, James, Andrew, John, four men who were fishermen. And they left that fishing business behind, Luke chapter 5 and verse 11, that they might pursue after Jesus. There was a man like Matthew who was a tax collector. He sat at the receipt of custom, Luke 5:28. He forsook all and followed Jesus. He left that business behind. And so now they're interested in, at least Peter is, what's the benefit? What's the fruit? What good is it to leave everything, to be ready and willing to depart with all of these things to follow after Jesus Christ? In fact, when you read Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27, Peter doesn't just say, we have left all and followed thee. Matthew includes Peter asking Jesus this very question, what shall we have therefore? What's the benefit? What's the purpose? Right? Let's read again verse 29, and now let's read verse 30 also, and let's see what Jesus says about the fruit or the benefit of leaving things behind to follow Him. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto thee, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold, now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. The key word there in verse 30 is the word receive, but he shall receive. Jesus said, if you're willing to bid farewell to physical things or to people in the familial category for the sake of Christ and the gospel, then you shall receive in return for forsaking. So there is on one hand a bidding farewell, and at the same time the fruit of that is bidding welcome to divine blessing. It is the life of giving up and forsaking for Christ and the gospel that results in divine favor, divine benefit, and divine fellowship. Notice there at the end of verse 29, the reason that Christ gives for this willingness to bid farewell. It's not just for any reason. Not just, you know, there are individuals in our society that regularly forsake their house and their land, but they don't do it for Christ and the gospel. They do it because they're behind on their mortgage, they're facing foreclosure, they haven't handled their money correctly, they cannot pay their bills, and so what they do is they just walk away from it and leave it behind. Well, that's not the type of forsaking that Christ is talking about in this text. Walking off from your property because you're in foreclosure is not going to result in divine blessing or divine benefit. But if you have to give those things up for Christ and the gospel, that is the sacrifice, that is the leaving behind that God will bless. Right? So what does Jesus say then about the fruits of forsaking? The first thing to consider here is the man that he describes. Notice in verse 29 and the way verse 30 begin. There hath no man left, but he shall receive. And so here is the thought. Every individual who is willing to make sacrifice and to forsake and to leave behind from Christ, that same individual will receive divine blessing and divine favor and divine benefit for making that sacrifice, for making that decision to follow after Jesus Christ. In fact, Matthew's account says, everyone that hath forsaken shall receive. And so Jesus gives here a universal answer. There is no distinction here in regards to class or to color or to gender. It doesn't matter if you're rich and you forsake something or if you're poor and you forsake something for Christ. God will see that you are rewarded. God will see that you benefit for making that decision to follow after Jesus. A second thing that Jesus gives here is he talks about the fruits of forsaking, not only the man, but he talks about the multiplication. Verse 30 says, but he shall receive an hundredfold. It's not an equivalent. It's not a one-for-one exchange. It's not you give up one thing on this side and so you receive one on this side. It's not even a double exchange. You give up one on this side and you receive twofold. It's not even a threefold exchange. Jesus says, he shall receive an hundredfold. The fruit of that forsaking will be exponential when compared to what you gave up. In fact, Luke's account in Luke 18, verse 30, Luke records Jesus saying that he shall receive manifold more. And it simply means very much more. Whatever it is that we have to forsake to follow after Jesus Christ, the fruit of that, the result of that, the benefit of that is God will bless us exponentially greater. The benefit of that will far outweigh and be far greater and far superior to that which we had to bid farewell to what we had to leave behind. That's just a reminder of the gracious nature of our God. Do you remember the way James described him in James 1 and verse 5? If any among you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. This is a demonstration of the liberal nature and the liberal giving of our God. God says, if you have to give something up to follow after my son and to have fellowship and faithfulness with me, God said, I will bless you exponentially. I'll bless you manifold times more than that which you gave up. It's the principle of multiplication. But notice when this fruit will be received. Notice the moments that are listed here in this text, because Jesus gives two different times when we will see and enjoy the benefits of bidding farewell to things for Christ and the gospel. Number one, he says, now in this time. And number two, he says, in the world to come. And so there are present fruits, now in this time, and there are prospective fruits in the world to come. There is both a present benefit and a future benefit of giving things up to pursue after Jesus Christ. He says, now in this time, there is some present fruit. And he lists houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands. For instance, let's say your family, your brothers and sisters, stand between you and obedience to the gospel. They don't want you to follow Christ. They're not willing to follow Christ. And so let's say that you forsake that relationship with them and you say, I'm going to follow Jesus because I know that's what's right. Well, God's going to bless you. And when you obey Jesus, what you're going to find in the family of God is brothers and sisters exponentially. You're going to find brothers and sisters. You're going to find that those who are faithful to Jesus Christ, that those who are in the family of God are your spiritual brothers and sisters. You're going to find in the family of God spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers and spiritual children, people that you can influence and bring along, and your family is going to grow and to blossom and to bloom exponentially because God is going to bless you for your willingness to forsake even those individuals in your familial category. But then Jesus says not only a present blessing in this time, but also a future blessing in the world to come. The greatest fruit, the greatest benefit of giving things up to follow Jesus is not something that we enjoy in this life. It is something that we enjoy in the world to come. It is eternal life. It is the abode in that eternal place with our Father. The place where there are no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, where those things are passed away, Revelation 21 and verse 4. The fourth thing Jesus mentions here is he talks about the fruits or the benefits of bidding farewell to things that we might pursue after him. And it has to do with mistreatment. Now, Matthew and Luke also record this encounter, this incident between Peter and Jesus. But Mark is the only one who gives a negative fruit along with the positive. Jesus has talked about the positive benefits of giving things up to pursue after him and how there'll be present blessing and even prospective blessing in the future. But in Mark's account, Jesus adds a negative thought to that. He says, now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. A willingness and a readiness to give things up to follow after Jesus doesn't just mean a life of divine favor and blessing. It also means a life of difficulty, suffering, and mistreatment. Because if you have to forsake someone in your family that you might pursue after Jesus, they're probably not going to take that very well. There's going to be ridicule, mockery, and mistreatment. But Jesus said you can expect that. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. To pursue after Jesus, to be willing to forsake things to follow after him means a life of suffering, a life of ridicule, a life of mistreatment. Final thing that we'll discuss in Mark chapter 10, Jesus said that we must be willing to forsake, to leave things behind for his sake in the Gospels. And if we do that, then we will receive fruit for that, and the fruit will be manifold more than that which we have given up. The reality is that there is a freedom of choice. We each get to choose whether we will forsake the things of this world to pursue after Jesus, or whether we will forsake Jesus to hold on to the things of this world or to cling to our family. Because there is in this chapter of Mark chapter 10 a great contrast. Because there is an individual who comes to Jesus before Peter and Jesus have this exchange about Peter and the disciples having forsaken all to follow Jesus and Jesus explaining the benefits and the fruits of that. And it is the coming of the rich young ruler. You can read this in Mark 10 beginning at verse 17 down to verse 21. But basically, the summation is this. A young man comes to Jesus and he says, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says to him, verse 21, you lack one thing. Go and sell all of your possessions. Give to the poor. Then come and follow me. You see, there was something that stood between this young man and faithfulness to God. Something that stood between this man and fellowship with God. Something that stood between this man and eternal life. And it was his connection to the physical things of the world, to his possessions. And Jesus says, you've got to be willing to forsake them, to leave them behind, to pursue after me. Verse 22 says, he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He wouldn't do it. He would not forsake the things of the world for Jesus Christ. He chose rather to forsake Christ for the things of the world. And then in contrast to that, here's Peter and the disciples. And Peter says, we have left all to follow you. See, the reality is we have a choice. We're going to fall into one of those two categories and we get to choose. We will choose whether we will face life like the young ruler, whether we'll choose to forsake Christ for the things of the world, or we get to choose whether we'll be like Peter and the disciples, to forsake the things of the world, to leave them behind, to follow after Jesus. And so here's some considerations. Here are some things that will help us to make the determination to pursue after Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. When you look at that rich young ruler, he chose that which was temporary over that which was eternal. He had a decision to make. Would he cling to his possessions, or would he give them up and cling to Jesus? And he chose that which was temporary. Those riches, those great possessions that he had would soon be corrupted. They would soon rust away. They would soon be destroyed. Only Jesus would remain and last forever. But he chose the temporary over the eternal. What choice will we make? We have the same opportunity. We can either choose the temporal things of this world that will last only for a moment of time and then will vanish away, or we can choose to follow Jesus and cling to Him, which will result in eternity. Because it's only choosing to follow Jesus that will benefit us with eternal life. Number two, this young ruler chose sorrow over happiness. Notice verse 22. He was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He could have been like the eunuch in Acts 8. And the text could have read, he sold his possessions and followed Jesus, and he went away rejoicing. But he chose sorrow. He chose to cling to the things of the world, and at best, they could only give him a temporary high, a temporary form of happiness that wasn't actually real. Because it's only pursuing after Jesus and having fellowship with God that produces real, abundant joy. In Psalm 16:11, the psalmist talks about how there is joy in the presence of God forevermore. Which one will we choose to pursue after? Will we be able and will we be willing to bid farewell to the things of the world that we might be willing and ready to bid welcome to eternal life? The choice falls into our lap. Which will we choose? Will we be like the rich young ruler who would not follow Jesus but would rather forsake Him? Or will we be like Peter and the disciples who were willing to bid farewell to everything because only one thing to them was important, and that was fellowship with God, faithfulness to Jesus Christ. Maybe it is tonight that you're in need of obeying the gospel. Jesus would call you to faith in Him. And if you believe that He is the Son of God, He would ask that you repent of your sins, Luke 13 and verse 3, that you confess your faith in Him, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that you would be baptized in the watery grave of baptism, that He might add you to His church, Acts 2 and verse 38, Acts 2 and verse 47. If you haven't done those things, then this evening, be obedient to the gospel, forsake everything to pursue after Jesus, because that is the path of eternal life. Maybe you've done those things, but you haven't been living faithfully. Why not tonight? Is there something that's standing between you and faithfulness and fellowship with God? If there is, are you willing and ready to forsake it this evening, that you might have divine favor, divine blessing, divine benefit, not only in this life, but eternal life in the world to come? If you're in need of responding, won't you come? Together we stand and as we sing.